You're listening to EPN, the E-Podcast Network.
Hello, this is Eric Dye, and welcome to the E-Musician Podcast Show here on EPN, where we feature different individuals in the music industry as you get a chance to hear how, as musicians and entrepreneurs, they are growing their fan base, their experiences, successes, and or setbacks, and more. Today, we are visiting with Rebecca Della Torre, who has a passion for music that is potent and mysterious, graceful and illuminating. With a voice that is sultry and powerful, her genuine musicianship can be heard, seen, and felt by those who experience her performance. Whether she is intimately alone with her piano or moving and shaking the crowd with her energy and drive, Rebecca intuitively knows how to captivate her audience from the moment she sings her first note. Though voice and piano have always played a major role in Rebecca's life, she never considered her passion for music would someday be her profession. Rebecca will discuss what it means to leave the corporate world and to pursue a passion similar to what she did when it came to her music. Rebecca, a privilege to have you a part of the E-Musician Podcast Show here on EPN.
Thank you. Thanks so much for having me, Eric. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. So first of all, tell us about yourself and your new record, Incognito.
Well, this whole record is like my second CD release, but it's the first a full LP. And it's actually a collaboration. I ran into a guy who is fairly well off, and he's a lyricist. And he's written a lot of songs, but just the lyrics, not any music. And so he proposed that on one of my gigs, he heard me play and sing and such on one of my gigs, and he said, "Hey, I have some lyrics. I wonder if you could write some music for it. I'll pay you, no problem," or whatever. And I'm thinking, wow, I wonder if they suck, you know, if they're like really bad lyrics, or they're, you know, because I don't. You'd think that people, you know, that are just, you know, you're doing your 9-to-5 or something in the corporate world, and especially this particular place, these are all very affluent people. And so I was a little bit hesitant to accept this proposal, but I said, "Hey, you know, email me your lyrics and I'll see if I could be moved to write something for your lyrics." And so a few days later, he did email me, and he sent me his first song, which is also on the CD. It's called Harbinger, which basically means like an omen, and I would think usually with a negative connotation, a harbinger. And I looked at the lyrics, and I'm like, "Oh, this is pretty good. Yeah, I can do this. I can write to this." And we discussed like the what kind of a sound he wanted to have, and he thought he wanted like a jazzy kind of pop. He says, "I want it moody," and no one knew moody better than Sinatra. And so I was like, "Okay, but I want it to be kind of a current sound, not just a jazz sound." So I composed it, and he loved it. And he sent it everywhere, and next thing you know, he keeps sending me songs, song after song. And each song, again, it was just the lyrics. So it was really more of a poem that he would send me. And he would give me the kind of a direction that he wanted, like, "Oh, I want this to sound like Bruce Springsteen," or "I want this to sound kind of like a really rockety Eagles sound," or "I want this to sound like Adele," or "I want this to sound like Coldplay," or something like that. And sometimes he would reference specific songs. And so that's how it began. And I would compose everything on the piano. And he also commissioned demo recordings of these songs as well, and getting a video together and upgrading my website. I mean, I know this interview is about me, but the lyricist, Tom, actually invested a whole lot into this and into, you know, me as an artist. And that was a really good boost, you know, especially for considering all the amount of time I had to put into the recording and such. So, which was good for me. I had to handle it kind of like a business, because I come from corporate America, and I kind of know how to manage my books, and I've been growing my business, and I'd just gotten my new studio literally a few months before I met this guy. And so it just seemed like, you know, serendipitous how everything flowed together so well.
Have you always had a love for music and recording, or is being a recording artist something you pursued later in life?
Oh, well, definitely later. Like I mentioned, I have come from corporate America. So I was originally an engineer. I mean, I always loved music. My grandmother gave me little, like, they were kind of piano lessons, but I never really, like, really played the piano. It was more like I just learned how to read music, so I could play a few notes at a time, and I learned how to read the bass clef and the treble clef since I was, like, 5 years old. And I had like some really basic piano lessons, but I primarily, when I really officially started to study music, was on the trombone in seventh grade. And so I, you know, I was always in, and I started to sing too, and I got, you know, a lot of awards in high school and stuff. There's different competitions you can go to, an all-state choir and an all-state band and those kinds of things. And I always scored really well, and I thought I wanted to be a musician. But basically, I got talked out of it because they're like, oh, you're going to be poor, you're not going to make any money, you know, you won't, what are you going to do? You want to sing opera? I thought I wanted to sing opera. I really just loved singing, and I loved doing music theater, and I did a lot of that too. But it was, I wasn't encouraged. My mom was the one that encouraged me the most at first. Like, she really wanted me to do Christian music, and the Christian music at the time, I'm not going to name any names, but I thought it was awful. I'm like, I'm not doing this kind of music. It's terrible. I'll never do this music. Ironically, I have written way more Christian songs than secular songs. But anyway, that's, I don't want to digress. But I bought a degree in computer science and ended up working at General Dynamics. And I was a senior engineer before I finally realized, because I was just doing the piano, just singing and playing on the side, that I've come to a kind of a crossroads in my life where I was pursuing my PhD in electrical engineering. And I'd just begun. I only had a few classes. Focusing on digital signal processing, which is something digital signal processing is like at the root of all the music that you hear, any electronic instruments, anything. It's actually, signal processing is part of any kind of mixing or anything. It's basically you're processing electrical signals, because once a sound is recorded, for instance, it becomes an electrical signal. You know, that's either processed via an analog console, or it can be translated to digital, and then, you know, you work on it, you know, via a computer or whatever. So it was really kind of the root of all, to me, it kind of tied together all of my interests. But when I looked at this program and how much time it took for me to work on this, because it's very complicated, I realized about 7 years ago, I am going to be a scientist or I'm going to be a musician. And I decided I have to give it a shot.
Beautiful.
So I left engineering within 3 months.
Wow.
And I went from a six-figure salary to making about a little over $30,000 a year, but I was like, that's so much better. I mean, I was so much happier, you know, and I knew that I was going to get better, and it would just take time, and I would grow it, and I would get more work, and I would only get better as a pianist and better as a singer, and that was one of the best decisions of my life.
I really appreciate your sharing it right from the heart. Tell me, what steps are necessary from an entrepreneur who wants to move her business to the next level?
Well, you know, you need to have a vision, especially like in the case of being a musician. It's so vague. There's so many things that you can do as a musician. It might be hard to like get a specific direction. But you definitely need to have a defined vision. And I know you read that everywhere and it sounds so cliche, but it is so incredibly true. You need to decide what you want to do. And, for me, I'm still forming the vision. It can be constantly, you know, changing, but you need to, decide kind of where you want to go, and you need to really put together like that, what's that 5-year plan, you know, and then break it down into how you're going to get there and define steps. And goals that are achievable, and start small and continue to reschedule things as you need to. But you have to know where you're going. Otherwise, you're just going to wander around. So if you want to be a cover band, then, you know, take the steps it takes to be the best cover band in your area. And if you want to even tour around the world, or, you know, do corporate events all over the U.S. or even go to foreign countries and do it, but you have to know that that's what you want to do, and you work and you bust your butt to get there. But if you want to do recording and your original music, and you have to pay the bills by doing a lot of covers, which is kind of part of my story, then you need to try to stay focused and make sure that you're constantly honing your skills as a composer and whatever other musical skills are required, you know, on your instrument or on your voice. And try to make sure that you stay focused on getting original music out there while you're still, you know, doing the you know, meat and potatoes gigs, like, you know, playing out in different events or private events, restaurants, clubs, etc. And then that's another step, I would say, is make sure that you get help along the way. You can't do everything, and if you have any kind of budget, you know, one thing I did, which was the best things, one of the best decisions I made was about a year and a half ago. Right about the same time I met this lyricist, but before we actually started working together, I put an ad out to all the younger people that I know, because I play at a church that's from the university. And then I know a lot of people even through another church and through different connections, that are students still, that are younger. And so I put out an ad, just an email blast to different friends and people I knew, telling people I'm looking for an assistant, and you know, that would be like maybe, you know, 6 hours a week, and I can pay like $12 an hour or whatever, and you know, but they need to have these kinds of skills. And I was able to hire this girl who is absolutely awesome, Michelle, who is my assistant. And sometimes I've had her work at 20 hours a week, and sometimes it's just, you know, six or whatever, but it was something I budgeted for and I was able to do. And all the little things that seem to tie up our lives, like, and take up all of our time, like sometimes just putting together little contracts or calendar updates, sending out, you know, emails and managing just an email list, and all these little bitty things that can take up so much time and weigh us down, to be able to offload those tasks to somebody else has just been detrimental in growing my business.
Good information. Today we're joined by singer-songwriter and pianist Rebecca De La Torre here on the E-Musician Podcast Show, a part of the Entrepreneur Podcast Network. Rebecca, what challenges and opportunities do you see in the current economic climate as it relates to being a recording artist?
Well, I've felt that for the most part, the economic climate has started to improve. In one case, it was more difficult to get better paying gigs. Like some of the, some people I know, some musicians I know are making about the same for a 4 hour gig that they made, you know, 10, 15 years ago. Unfortunately, inflation has, you know, really reduced the spending power of that same stipend, you know, so there's that. And you know, you don't want to raise your fees too much because you don't want to scare people off and you want to continue to get work. So I think it's more about being efficient and creative in the way that you spend your money, you know, what money you do make. And that's just, you know, with running your business. We'll even make sacrifices, you know, at the home so we don't have to pay ourselves as much, you know, which, I mean, what's a sacrifice? Not going out to eat. I mean, really, you know, we live in the U.S. This is a pretty our lives are, for the most part, very comfortable, you know, considering all the basic needs of food, shelter, and that sort of thing. So you need to, again, if you have a vision, if you have an idea of where you want your business to go, then make sure that you financially are, you know, taking care of that as well and planning ahead. You know, maybe you need to cook on Monday or Tuesday, which is usually a slow time for musicians. Cook for food for the whole week, so you're not tempted to go buy Starbucks or wherever you go, McDonald's. I don't go to either of those places. I don't know why they came to my mind, but there you are. So you don't spend money, even if it's like $8 here, $10 there. That stuff adds up, and that's just one thing. I mean, sometimes it seems to be feast and famine, because a lot of times as a musician, you know, there's seasons, you know, in your area. Like right now, our season's starting to wind down in Phoenix, and then the summer's going to be really hot. Well, I've saved up all year, and thankfully I'm going to be spending a month in Seattle, which is something that I've wanted to do, like, for years and years and years, and finally I'm able to do it. So it's just, and I'm going to have work up there. I'm going to play gigs in Seattle, you know, from mid-July to mid-August, which is so incredibly exciting. But, again, I've planned for that. That's been part of my vision. That's something I've planned for and thought about and saved for and dreamt about for years. You got to let yourself dream. And then as the other thing with this economic climate is, not even the economic climate, but more so related to the internet and how everything has changed so much. You know, people are used to getting music for free these days, or you just pay for a streaming service. I've had a lot of people stream my songs, but I get like a penny every time they stream a song, or 2 cents or 3 cents or something, whereas if someone buys the song, then I get more like, after everyone takes their cut, like 50 cents. Do you know what I'm saying? I know that's so small, and we're talking in tiny amounts, but that has changed the whole music industry. And it's, you know, I think a lot of, even all the big guys, you know, Virgin Records, EMI, whoever, you name it, are still trying to figure out, okay, how are we going to make money now? How are we making money? Obviously, I make the most money by playing live, you know, by being live entertainment, be it a show or be it a regular gig. The other thing is it's the age of endless distraction today. You know, there's so many things in our lives that are constantly competing for our attention. You know, not only do you have TV, forget TV, TV's old, I don't even have TV anymore, or cable or whatever, but you have, like, now you have Apple TV, you have Vivo, you have the internet, you have emails that are constantly, everyone's probably getting a lot of marketing emails unless you unsubscribe from everything. You know, Facebook, whatever it is, Twitter, there's so many things that are grasping for your attention and your wallet, you know, in this world today. And so it's, again, comes back to what I said earlier, where you need to have a vision and you need to constantly, you know, keep that on your mind and you know, plan your budget, you know, and be organized as best as possible, you know, so that your business can be successful and you have a chance.
And finally, what advice do you have for women who are just starting out?
Well, number one, you got to believe in yourself. That's really important. You might get, if you know that you've got what it takes, and you can tell, I mean, look at people who are successful. Do you, and be, you know, be realistic, you know, obviously, are you able to be successful, you know, as at whatever it is, whatever it is that you're trying to do in your work? If you're successful on a small scale, you know, you can probably grow it to something larger too. And always continue to try to better yourself. You've got to improve on your skills and hone them and never, ever give up. The people that make it in anything in life are those that never gave up. You keep going. I know I've talked to musicians or songwriters who had rejection letter after rejection letter, not even just musicians, or people that are trying to get a book published that ends up being a bestseller, rejection after rejection after rejection until they finally find someone or a publisher or, you know, whatever that's interested. But it can be the same thing when you're even on the small scale, when you're looking for a gig. You know, you got to, like, say you got a great sound, you got a trio or something, you're looking for a gig. You contact this place, you romance that place, et cetera, and you keep getting rejection after rejection after rejection. You can't give up. There's someone out there. The right fit is there, and you've got to keep pushing on.
How about telling our listeners where they can be in contact with you online and also get more information and get to know you better?
Oh, you can find me on my website. I mean, it's at RebeccaDellaTorre.com, RebeccaDellaTorre.com. And then, you know, you can follow me via Twitter from the website or connect with me on Facebook. I accept friends. I've also got my Facebook fan page and stuff. But, like, being a public performer, I accept, like, all kinds of friends from all kinds of people. So... And I'm always welcome. I love to respond to emails, anything about my music or anything. I spend a lot of time in email, but still, I'm never too busy to respond to questions about my music.
Certainly been good to have had you. We've been speaking with singer-songwriter and pianist Rebecca DellaTorre. And once again, for contact and for more information is simply RebeccaDellaTorre.com. Rebecca, thanks so much for being with us here this afternoon.
Thank you so much, Eric. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. And now let's listen to a clip of Rebecca DellaTorre's work. You've been listening to the E-Musician Podcast Show right here on EPN.
This is the E-Podcast Network.